Good afternoon, Acadiana. Welcome to Kane Radio's Chip Shots. Teddy Flyman with you here in the studios at Kane Radio, AM 1240 and now FM 107.5. Tune in either way. Like the weather lady just said, what a beautiful day for golf today. Too bad some of the courses were closed in our area. Because tomorrow and the ensuing days, looks like it's going to be a little bit wet. Not good for golfers. Let's thank our sponsors before we talk a little golf news. I want to thank Coca-Cola right into the water. I want to thank Mr. Lee Tatford, the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Lafayette. Don't fret, we have Coke products here in New Iberia because they distribute it here everywhere. So thanks, Mr. Lee Tatford, for your support of Kane Radio. Local radio is important to our community. And thank you for supporting us here at Kane Radio. We appreciate it. Our other title sponsor, GolfBalls.com, located right there in Lafayette on Arnold Boulevard. Read an article in the Morning Advocate last week on GolfBalls.com and how their sales are up. Their in-shop sales, they're at the merchandise showroom, it's up 20%, all due to the COVID. Great place to be. You know, you can practice social distancing while playing golf, so golf's been up. At GolfBalls.com, they have 180,000 new customers. They're up 50% spike in their online sales. That's incredible. 50% up, and they're already extremely successful. In other golf data, just around the country, 13.9% rise in golf from 2019 to 2020. The biggest jump ever since they started tracking this in 1998. So go see GolfBalls.com. Get all your merchandise there. We do for the Pro-Am Association, and looks like we're going to try to do so also for the Live for Liam tournament, which we'll talk about a little later on in the show. But it's Saturday, July 10th. That's our scheduled date for the tournament, and a lot of information will be going out on that as the weeks get closer and closer to that tournament. So golfballs.com, hopefully will supply the merchandise for that tournament, as they supply the merchandise for Alcadiana Pro-Am, which we'll also be talking about in a bit. So thank you, GolfBalls.com. Also want to thank our local golf clubs, Eagle Ridge, Cane Row, and Sugar Oaks. So let's start out with one of our non-so-local golf clubs, but still nonetheless one of our beloved clubs, which is on our Pro-Am rotation. We're talking about Bellevue, the nine-hole course right there in Franklin. One of only a few nine-hole courses left in South Louisiana and probably in our country as well, along with their sister course, St. Mary's, right there in Patterson. So, Franklin High School had their baseball golf tournament. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Why would you have a baseball golf tournament? Why wouldn't you have a golf baseball tournament? Or why wouldn't you have a baseball tournament? Anyway, I'm being silly, but a lot of sports turn to golf when they want to raise money. And on the higher level in college, golf turns towards the other sports to get their funds. So they both help each other out, golf and all the other sports. And anyway, I'm digressing a little bit. Saturday, March 20th was their tournament at Bellevue. They had 16 teams, three-man teams, and first place went to Barry Bolner, Jack Lee, and Nick Case. They were 11 under par. Three teams tied for second at 10 under par, and the scorecard playoff ensued. And went in second place was Dale Rogers, Nick Mollison, Jeff Saunders. Then third place went to David Naquin, Drew Naquin, and Mike Bella. And so when it was all said and done, Bellevue and their nice nine-hole golf course provided a $1,500 profit for the Franklin High baseball team. And also at Franklin, their last dogfight, which is usually on the first Saturday of the month, but haven't got any information from Ty Burdett, the owner there, on if they had one this month, but we'll have to do that next time, text him and see. But the last time they had one, J.D. Mayfield won at plus five. Tied for second was Todd Partey and Bobby McDonald at plus four. And moving on over to Sugar Oaks, right there in Marbleham. A lot of people don't know about Marbleham, but a little community right here between New Iberia and Lauraville. That's where Sugar Oaks is located. So we got the Gator Golf Club, which stems out of Sugar Oaks. Their most recent event was played at Atchafalaya Golf Course on March 13th. And thanks to Boyd Booty, a little side note here, for getting me this information. I appreciate his efforts. He comes by the studios to deliver me this well-typed-out, documented results. Not too many people do that. I have to pull teeth to get results from golf tournaments. And you think, you know, the people around the area would want to hear their local golf clubs and local members and stuff promoted, you know. But once again, not too many people do that. But thanks, Boyd, for doing it for me. I really appreciate it. And so in the Gator Golf Club at Atchafalaya, the first flight winner was Tom Grimsley, plus eight. He had a remarkable round of 68. Boyd said he was on fire, as it said. Second flight winner, Eddie Viator and Mike Giovinazzo. They were plus five. And then the senior flight winner was Danny Segura, plus seven. They get cash for this, too, so it's a pretty nice deal, not just because they have a great schedule that they trek around the South Louisiana from Baton Rouge to Lake Charles playing these awesome golf courses, but they give out cash as well, and I don't think it's too expensive to play. Their next tournament, anyway, is going to be April 10th. That's a Saturday at Beaver Creek in Zachary, on a really nice municipal golf course that's located in Zachary, just north of Baton Rouge. Hadn't played in a while and would love to go back and play. Continuing on with Sugar Oaks, MGA President Mark Ami says you better get your dues in. You have nine more days to get your MGA membership dues in. They're only $20 for the whole year, and the deadline March 31st. Because right after that, you know what's going to happen. A golf tournament and a free crawfish boil after. So that'll pay you $20 right there, I'm sure, if you can. You like to eat those crawfish. Go and sign up for the membership there. All right, Sugar Oaks Golf Course. What a beautiful course. I'm telling you, the greens, I keep saying this every week, but, I mean, their winter grass greens were just gorgeous. And congratulations to Neil and the crew out there. Neil D'Artes, the maintenance supervisor out there, and the crew that works with him. He's done a marvelous job. So if you want a discounted golf course, inexpensive golf course to play, Sugar Oaks is your place. They range from $22 to $36, depending on the time of the day and the day of the week. But Sugar Oaks is really a bargain golf course and in great shape as well. So we're moving up to Cade now. That's where Eagle Ridge is. They have 52 members, and they're holding one pool now. Only $5 a month. They put it on your bill. Glenn Bienvenu was the recipient of $2,400 as he made the last hole-in-one about 2 months ago. He had a wedge in the hole from 119 yards out on hole number four. And his bar tab, only $61. So he'll swap that out anytime. Then also they had a high school golf match, which I don't have the results from. Shame on the people who run the high school golf match. Once again, I was telling about pulling teeth to get results. Well, I've tried and tried to get results from the high school golf matches. Certainly want to promote the juniors, and I can't seem to get that either emailed or text to me. But nonetheless, they had a high school golf match on the 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day, and AES, Southside, Turlings, and Lafayette participated in that. Then also at Eagle Ridge, shame to say this, but it's a part of the golf business that you have to deal with. A cart got stolen and run across the highway there, and the police found it in a ditch. It's reminiscent of the times I worked at Sugar Oaks, and certainly had a lot of trouble with vandalism. The deal at Sugar Oaks for me mostly was at night, you know, you got free access to the golf course because there's no fence or anything. And, you know, unruly kids would do donuts on the greens, especially number 15 green there, and cost us a lot of money and a lot of effort to repair that green. So I sympathize with Gary Kidd, the owner out there, and hope he gets his carts back and things get back to good shape. Also, talking about carts, he lent some carts to to La Triomphe out there for the Chittimachee Louisiana Open. They had the pro-am, but I guess they had that social distancing where you can only have one person in a cart, so they borrowed carts from La Triomphe and other golf courses so they could have those pro-ams. And back closer to home now, Cane Row Golf Course. I got the pleasure to be out there to practice a little bit on Sunday. Jay Smith was out there, and we were chit-chatting with each other. Cane Row had 117 players when I went out there at about 2, 2:30. That's amazing, the amount of play they're getting from, once again, it's golf's on a rise, not only for COVID, but because the golf course is in better shape and things are really happening out there. We also had a meeting for, like I announced earlier at the top of the show, for Liam McDuff, the young man who was unruly murdered back in December. We're going to have a fundraising golf tournament for him, and it's benefiting the youth of our area, our parish, educationally and athletically. So both ways they'll be getting funds from that tournament. It's two events in one on Saturday, July 10th, 8:30 and 1:30 shotgun starts, both of them three-man scrambles. We'll be definitely talking about that more and more as time goes on, for sure. Want to promote that tournament best I can. Then tomorrow, Tuesday, they were scheduled to have ladies' area play, but with the ensuing rain coming, they've postponed it to next Tuesday. And I talked to Dawn DeClue today, who runs our Pro-Am Association, and she's one who gave me this information. You know, ladies' area play is one of the oldest ladies' local amateur tour events in Acadiana. I know it's been going on for 40-plus years because I can remember when I first got into the golf business, it was happening, and got to meet a lot of nice ladies through the course of the years working at different area clubs. And also at Cane Row, they're going to start to repair their driving range. As we know, the balls plug and you lose the balls when you hit them, and it's a little bit wet. That blackjack doesn't allow the grass to grow as well, and the balls don't bounce, and the range pickers are unable to pick them up, so they're going to turtle back it starting soon. I'm not sure when, but it's going to be closed for a little while. And they also had golf matches at Cane Row Wednesday, March 17th as well, St. Patrick's Day. North Vermilion, Delcombe, Notre Dame, and Hathaway played at Cane Row. And upcoming tournaments, in addition to the Liffelium tournament, it's the Jimmy Picard Invitational. Entry fee is $400 per team, and it's a two-man team, so it's $200 per player. Let's see here. The schedule is Saturday. The tournament's Saturday, April 10th and 11th, so that's coming up soon. I believe that's the weekend of the Masters, so I guess they're going to have morning tea times if the guys want to watch the tournament. Anyway, practice round Friday, Saturday and Sunday, April 10th and 11th. On Saturday, it's going to be a two-man scramble. Lunch provided, and then on Sunday, it's going to be a four-ball event with lunch also provided. So you can go out to Cane Row, get your entry form there. Cane Row's got their new membership prices available now. It's time to renew. April is usually the time to renew your memberships across the country. They do that. April 1st is periodically the day that they renew or start their yearly membership when you're obligated for a year. So, $142 for a membership there if you're a single member. $157 for a family membership. And you get all kind of benefits with Cane Row for sure. You're able to book tee times a week in advance. You can book online, in person, or on the phone the old-fashioned way. And on their website, you can check out their monthly events calendar, tournaments, activities, special events, menu with specials and all kind of stuff going on at Cane Row. And then their discounts, of course, in their golf shop, which is pretty nicely stocked. You get a 20% discount on all their shirts, shorts, hats, and visors. 20% if you're a member. And they had some nice Greg Norman golf shirts there for only $50. So you need to check that out if you're a member. Then also at Cane Row, the LGA, Louisiana Golf Association, has their handicap system in place there. It's for Cane Row members in the pro shop, and it's a little kiosk right there where you can log in, put in your score, and it's got a system where it charts it for you, and it's a pretty nice deal for members if you like to to chart and, you know, keep your handicap. And, of course, that's for members only. Then Cane Row had the latest Pro-Am, Acadiana Pro-Am out there. 130 players teed it up a couple of weeks ago. First place went to Michael Landry, Kyle Mesh, Chris Viator, and Dan Hidalgo, plus eight, winning $155. And as I said earlier, golfballs.com, our title sponsor, supplies the merchandise, so you can go pick up your merchandise there. Second place went to Kevin Arsenal, who works at Cane Row on Saturdays. He's a school teacher who substitutes in the golf shop. So Kevin won second place along with Alvin Bergeron, Ryan Biard, and Bo Provo. Plus four, they won $112. Third place, Mike Grisby, Dan Hanson, Jody Menard, and Scott Norris. Also plus four, they won on the scorecard playoff. They won $63. The low A, B, C, and D player was Jason Hebert, plus seven, Barry Bonner, plus two, Mike Grisby, plus six, and George Biard, plus seven. Doug Biard was a low pro. He edged me out by a shot, that sucker. I'll get him next time. Next time is going to be at Southern Oaks in Abbeville, and you can play either Tuesday, April 6th, or Thursday, April 8th. Tuesday, April 6th being my anniversary. 47 years I'm married to Miss Anita. And then Thursday, April 8th, first day of the Masters. So I have to tee off kind of early so I can get back home and watch. We had some big tournaments in our area this week, and we're going to be going over those in a bit. The Louisiana Classics, UL's tournament, I'm going to go over that in a bit. But the Louisiana Open just concluded Sunday at Le Triomphe. And if that's Boxcar on the other side, that answered the phone there. We're going to definitely talk about the Louisiana Open coming up. So stay tuned for that. And then, as I said, the Masters is coming up April 8th through 11th. And then closer to home, the Zurich Classic is going to be April 22nd through 25th. Our own Sam Burns is paired with Billy Horschel in that tournament. Okay, back to UL. The 36th annual Louisiana Classics was played. This is the third oldest college golf tournament in the nation. So college golf right there in Louisiana, classic golf. They had the Cajuns were paired with Illinois and Michigan. And their team comprised of Charlie Flynn, Peter Hennett, Hunter Hammett, Hudson Dubinsky, and Bjørn Gundersen. None of those are seniors. They all played really well for the Cajuns to finish second behind Illinois. And all kinds of records were set because number five Illinois shot 41 under par. That's right, you heard me right. 41 under par, winning by a record 38 strokes over the raging Cajuns, who were minus three and the only other team under par. Third place went to North Texas, who was ranked 38th. And fourth place, 49th ranked Sam Houston. So the Cajuns would be two ranked teams. And here's some of the records that were set. UL's Peter Hennett, he tied the competitive course record in the opening round on Monday morning with a 64. Illinois' Jerry G tied the 54-hole scoring record set by Illinois' Tom Petrie in 2015. And then Illinois' score was the lowest 54-hole score ever in the Louisiana Classics. A slew of other records went down. They had the largest margin of victory ever, that 38, and the lowest round, 268, in the second round. Illinois' player finished first, second, third, and fifth. Now, we're talking about 85 players, along with the individuals, 14 five-man teams and individuals as well, and they finished four players in the top five. That's incredible. Their number five ranking, I'm sure, is going to move up. In fact, they're undefeated this spring. They spent the last 3 weeks in the South. They won the Alabama tournament at Opelika. I think it's Opelika, Alabama. They won LSU's tournament at the U Club and then UL's tournament right there at Oak Barn. So Illinois is for real. Then down the highway there, LSU, the Tigers played in the Tiger Invitational, but not their own tournament. It was Jason Duffner's Auburn-sponsored golf tournament. And number 16, Auburn, won their home event, 26 under par. Second place, Alabama, 22 under par. And the LSU Tigers, third place, minus 11. They ranked 24th in the world. On the ladies' side, the LSU women's golf team, Ingrid Lindblad, the star player for the Tigers, won for the first time this spring on Sunday in the Liz Murphy Collegiate Classic Tournament at the University of Georgia Golf Course. It was her third tournament crown, and she finished at 4 under par 212. The fourth-ranked Tigers finished seventh, and not so good for them, but good for Lindblad. She has finished in the top 10 each tournament this season. A first-round score of 8 under 64 put her in a three-way tie for LSU's record single round. And it seems like the LSU women's golf team is doing better than the men's for sure. Lindblad is a Swedish golfer, and you're going to see her someday on the LPGA Tour. She's ranked fifth in the country. She's named to the Palmer Cup, which is a Ryder-style competition between college teams. And she's also on the Annika watch list as an award for the most outstanding college golfer. And then in a few weeks, she'll play in the Augusta National Women's Amateur. She got an invite to that as well. So good things are happening for her. Then here's the Lafayette Men's Senior Golf Association. Thanks to Mr. Lawson Rooley, the president of this association, for getting me this information. It's a senior men's ages 50 and above who play. You don't have to be from Lafayette, or and it's because it includes other local golf clubs. Membership is for anyone 50 years of age, and it's $25 dues per year. So, and they have a crawfish ball and a Christmas party included with that $25. You can play in all these tournaments. They score kind of like what we do on the Kenyatta Pro-Am, 1 point for bogey, 2 points for par, 3 points for birdies. And they played last tournament at Cane Row, and first place went to Steve Newman and Sanford Swear. They were plus nine. Second place, Tony Romero and Steve Newman, plus eight. Third place went to Woody LaMare, who got me this information, and Jay Frederick. Woody hooked me up anyway with Lawson Rooley, the president. And so their April road tournament, what they do, they have a tournament in Lafayette and then a tournament on the road. Their April road tournament's going to be at Greystone Golf Course in Denham Springs. Nice outing there. And congratulations to a couple of my fellow PGA golf pros. Robbie Gerringer, who is the pro at Oak Wing, he won the prestigious PGA Professional of the Year award given by our Gulf States section. It's the highest honor you can get. And then he teamed up with Gavin Vegas to win the Gulf States PGA Senior Junior Tournament at Oaks Golf Course in Pascagoula recently. He was 9 under par 63 they shot. And then finally to my other friend, local compadre and mentor, Charlie Dugais, 50 years as a PGA golf professional right there in Lafayette. He finished his last, he's retired now, but he finished his last tenure at the golf range there on Cully's Saloon. So congratulations to Mr. Charlie Dugas. 50 years as a golf pro is pretty impressive. We'll take a break, see if we got Boxcar still holding on the other side, and we'll talk about some local professional golf that went on in our community. Stay tuned.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
Tesh Matters, 10 to 1, on New Iberia's home for the hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Kane, 107.5.
Looks like I jumped the gun with that bumper music there. Kenny Loggins was all about talking real quick, wasn't he? All right, let's see if we got box score on the other line. Hello there.
Hello there.
My friend, patiently waiting. That's your
whatever.
That's your penance for not calling in last week, so...
I know. And
glad
I
you could be
almost,
here, though.
But I had to set my alarm on my phone today to remind me.
You're out of shape. Hate to hear it.
Well, I just got to get in the golf spirit, man. I need some good weather. I need some warm temperatures. I need some.
It was gorgeous this weekend. It's just that, you know, tomorrow's going to be a bummer.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You know, then we. To be soaking wet, you know, and
did you play this weekend?
Do what?
Did you play this weekend?
No, I did not. I went to visit the Grange.
Oh, okay.
My priorities are definitely
evolving for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
well, did you talk to our buddy Jim? Did he play in the Pro-Am for the Chittimachi Louisiana Open?
He did.
Tell us about it.
Played with us. Well, he said it was really difficult. The wind was howling, and you know, he said they had a great ditty bag. The pro he played with was and I just can't remember the guy's name, but he actually won an event last year I looked him up on the Corn Ferry Tour. Left-handed guy. He said he was extremely long. He drove 17. You know, so, but he didn't make the cut. but Jim said that, you know, everything was nice, but it just, it was really, like I said, a windy day. The pace of play was real slow. You know, they had par for your friend, but a lot of the people didn't want to stop at par and kept playing. So,
yeah, they wanted to get their money's worth. They wanted to play out. I don't blame them.
Yes, but most of these people are comp. You know, they're not. It's not them paying the money; it's their companies. You know, so. But
they got some kind of connection.
No, it was just the fact that you know it was actually held. I mean, he had to go the day before and do a COVID test, and as did everybody that participated. And, that was set up right next to the La Triomphe parking lot of that hotel, and. So I guess they have like an overnight result type thing, and so it's just a different type of world, you know. But hey, they got it in, and this is, you know, I was thinking about that today though. Just the same that of all, you know, again, I went to this thing since the very first one it ever had, and didn't miss any of it till last year when they were canceled. But they really had a good field this year, and a lot of times, you know, they had some, you know, kind of weak fields, but. I mean, you know, to think Aaron Baddeley, who used to be a top 10 player in the world, was in that field, and Peter Juhan, who won multiple times on the European Tour and son of a title of CEO, Wally Juhan, and you know, actually finished second in the event. And so it was a good field, and just too bad that, you know, couldn't have spectators.
Yeah, and it was an exciting finish. You know, the spectators would have really enjoyed that finish, man. I heard it was just remarkable.
Yeah, it sounded like it, you know. You had just a lot of, you know,
swings.
Guys that had opportunities. But you got to give credit to this Roberto Diaz, and his name sounds vaguely familiar, but, you know, I can't really say that I can remember any remarkable things he did.
No, he's been a pro for 13 years. He's from Mexico, now lives in San Antonio, but he's never won a tournament before. He went 113 starts on the Corn Ferry Tour and 194 starts total. and had four runner-up finishes, but this is his first win.
Yeah, so, you know, he had to be, and maybe, you know, that's actually probably, in, you know, more than likely, one of those situations where not having spectators probably helped this guy. You know, you kind of focus just on your golf. You're not listening to the roars and the, you know, other things going on. So, I would say that, you know, most people, if they're golf, true golf fans and kind of know who Peter Juhain is, I would think that would have been the kind of the favorite, you know, just
right.
The thing that the titleist type thing. And I mean, again, you and I had the discussion many times. It just befuddled me why he chose to go to the European Tour, because he was plenty capable of playing on the PGA Tour, but, and especially with his dad's connections, he would have got sponsor exemptions left and right.
Absolutely.
But, you know, he apparently enjoyed Europe. You know, it's an oddity for a American player, for sure.
Yeah.
But he had no desire really to come back for quite a while. But anyway, good finish. Nice. Now, all things considered, I mean, because the scoring conditions, at least the first couple of days, were tough. Now they kind of lit it up Sunday. I mean, they had some really good scores, a lot of seven and, you know, eight unders shot on Sunday.
A guy named Tom Whitney from Dallas had the low round with 63, which is eight under par. It's a par 71 for the pros, was 72 for the amateurs. And look, this guy made the field as an alternate. He didn't even get in until the last minute and shoot 63 the final round, finished third.
But they go to show you, I mean, again, we talk about that in any given week, you know, it could be a life-changing moment for one of these guys. And so here's Roberto Diaz, who basically in the Saturday press conference said he didn't care if he won or not, which I think was kind of a way of trying to deflect some of that pressure he felt, because he had a FaceTime call with Abraham Anser, who's his next-door neighbor and good friend from Mexico, and Anser's caddy as well. So I think he definitely, you know, wanted to win. But again, it's one thing to go out there and kind of put that pressure on yourself, and then another thing to say, well, if it happens, it happens.
So, I think you're spot on, because I read a quote where he said the day before the tournament, and I'm quoting him here. He says, "I told my putting coach, you know what? I'm never going to win. I'm not a winner. I'm just out here to make money. It's a business." So, I mean, a guy with that kind of attitude, you think, he's got to know, you got to go out there to win. And he's probably just trying to convince himself.
Yeah, and you know, I hate to hear that, you know, to honestly, because the Korn Ferry Tour, going back to the days of the Nike Tour, Ben Hogan Tour, mm-hmm. you know, and you can go on and on. It was never meant to sustain a person to be able to make a living. You know, it was like, okay, you know, here's your chance to prove yourself, get to the big tour, but our purses are going to be capped at a, you know, kind of reasonable amount. And if you don't finish in the top 10 every week, you know, you might be back looking for a regular job or a head pro somewhere or whatever.
Right.
And as, you know, as everything else, the PGA Tour is kind of supplemented this tour and funded it and gotten sponsors for it, and I was looking at, you know, last year's money ranking, and you know, top 10, I mean, they were making $300,000, you know, just not even the money title winners, but just in the top 10. And I mean, that's even given the fact that you're taking away your, you know, expenses, your caddy fees, et cetera, let's say you clear $100,000. That's not, you know, on top of that, you have sponsors, you know, payments and whatnot. That's a heck of a way to make a living, you know. So I kind of think that maybe the edge of the tour has kind of been taken away a little bit. And I always said, and this is just me, that they should have actually, I thought it was always a good idea to cap the number of starts you could have on that tour. If you didn't, you know, now obviously a guy like this wouldn't have won, you know. So I guess my point is moot. But I always said, Yeah, if you've had 125 starts and you never won, then maybe maybe you shouldn't be on that tour, but I don't know. But anyway, it's in the record books.
Yeah.
Kudos to, I'm sure they, I did hear Danny Jones on a couple of sports talk shows this week, and I think that was a point that was kind of missed, because there was a lot of people that were upset about not having spectators there. And his point was, if we would have had spectators, obviously it would have been limited to begin with, then you would have had to hire additional people to actually enforce the rules.
There's so much involved in that. You're talking about parking, you're talking about gatekeepers, you're talking about shuttles. It's just incredible.
Right. It's on top of the volunteers. And he said, our goal ultimately is to give back to the community and raise money for charity, which by not having to spend that money, they were able to do, So I think next year, obviously the signs are all pointing to a positive outcome for next year. We're seeing the PGA Tour, I was reading today that New Orleans is going to have some limited spectators, so that's kind of good news for people who like to go to the a team event and watch that. So I think we're inching closer and closer. The rates are getting better. More and more people are getting vaccinated. The tour's done, I think, a remarkable job in their protocol and their testing and whatnot. So hopefully, even later this year, we'll be back to full crowds and golf as we know it. Because I do think there's some players that are not playing as well as they normally do because they don't have those fans there.
Yeah, I believe that. Some people thrive on that. Look, one other closing thought on the Louisiana Open. There was an albatross, which is, a double eagle on number one by Jack McGuire from St. Petersburg. So that's a rare shot when you make a two on a par five. That's three under par. That's pretty cool. Hey.
That is cool. And, that's one of those holes, that's the thing about Letourneau. And again, the scoring was was pretty low again, of course, not as low. I gotta go back just a second. When did they move the Louisiana Classic to Muni instead of Oak Barn? There's no way you can shoot
4-1. We didn't talk about that. That was remarkable. Goodness. And, I didn't say it when I was doing that segment, but I had the pleasure of going out there and starting those players. And so I got an up-close and personal view of their golf swings and their demeanor and all that stuff. And I'm going to tell you, every one of Illinois' players was slim and trim, and you could tell that they've been working out over the course of the winter, because a lot of people ask me, how can Illinois have such a great golf team year in and year out when they're up in the snow, And it's true. I mean, that their coach is one of the most outstanding golf coaches and players ever, and Mike Small, and he's got it on track there.
Yeah, but I think I saw an article one time in Golf Digest about their facility, and Theo's got a great facility. Don't get me wrong, and we're blessed in South Louisiana, but their facility is like, it might be indoors, but oh my God, it's like unreal.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, Boxcar, can you stay with me? I need a clear break.
Yeah.
But we can go on and talk about the PGA Tour's other event and then maybe some other stuff.
Okay.
All right. Stick around. We'll be back in a bit.
Hey, guys, if you're looking for the top golf experience in Iberia Parish, you need to look no further than Cane Row Golf and Turf Club. Low or high handicappers will enjoy the beautiful greens, the recently refurbished sand traps, and incredibly plush fairways. And by the way, you don't have to be a golfer to enjoy Cane Row. The brand new clubhouse sports some of the best burgers, pizza, wings, and many other choices, along with absolutely the best, most potent margaritas that you've ever tried. So whether it's golf, food, or just some fun, come to Cane Row and enjoy.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The GolfBalls.com Retail Center is now open and better than ever. Stop by our newly renovated store to shop the latest in golf balls, clubs, and apparel from brands such as Titleist, TaylorMade, Callaway, and Under Armour. Check out our new state-of-the-art golf simulator and demo the hottest irons, drivers, and putters. Featuring 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, GolfBalls.com was founded here in Acadiana 25 years ago and remains the world leader in golf customization. Located on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools and, of course, online at GolfBalls.com.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on KANE 107.5.
And welcome back. I got the bumper right that time, Boxcar. Hello, you still with me?
Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
You want a medal or something or what?
Well, I've only been doing this for like 10, 12 years. I'm finally getting it right, you know. I'm a slow learner. All right. The rest of the show is yours. Hey, look, we get to go to 6 o'clock, so the rest of the show is yours.
Well, no, I mean, we need to have some conversation because I really don't have, you know, I don't have the ability to print out stuff anymore. And so, and I haven't been watching golf on TV, man. It's just, it's just not, I haven't gotten that, I think maybe by the Masters this year, I might get that urge to do it again. But yeah, you know, I did see, the results of the Honda Classic, and I was a little disappointed in the field quality itself, but you know, again, another guy that a perseverer, I guess you would call him, Matt Jones, who I know he won before, but it's been quite a while.
2014 Houston Open, that's his last win.
Yeah, that's a long time. So yeah. Congratulations to perseverance for him, and kudos again to Jack Golf Course and that. That snake pit's definitely one of the toughest stretches of golf that you can imagine. And, man, they had some incredible things happening in that tournament as well. With, I don't know if, that, you know, it's so hard. It's hard to fathom a pro could three putt from 3 feet, but that happened to Aaron Wise when he was, yeah, you know, right in contention and had a great, you know, actually four putt at the green, but three putts were from 3 feet. And that's hard to believe.
But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy stuff, you know. So, let's see, Jones is 40 years old. He's from Australia, so another old-timer wins, you know.
I know. Again, I think we're just seeing so much diversity happening. You know, a lot of times you can point to, well, it was just a weaker field, and that's more than likely, you know, a good explanation. But, I mean, still, he beat the best in the world, so you got to give him his kudos.
And he won by 5 shots, so it's not like he,
And you know, some of that was, like I said, self-imposed by other players from kind of folding late, but it was, you know, I guess for him, you know, obviously another life-changing event now, that'll earn him a spot in the Masters, right?
Right, and he said, you know, last time he got to the Masters, he won the Houston Open, which he didn't get to play a practice round because the tournament was the week before. This time he'll be able to get a few practice rounds in.
That's when it was at the old Redstone course, and players used to play there because it kind of was very similar, the green complexes, to Augusta National, so they liked to play that Houston tournament before. Not to mention it was the last chance for the non-qualifiers
right
to get in. But
exactly.
Yeah, but I do remember that now. So, man, it's hard to believe we're already actually at what I'm going to call the real Masters, you know, because last year was so late, it was hard to imagine that was actually the Masters, but we're right there, and that's just a couple of weeks away, and boy, it's really hard for me to kind of come up with a favorite, you know, because Well, Brooks Koepka, I don't think he'll tee it up.
No, he's he out. Yeah,
he looks really doubtful. DJ really hasn't, you know, despite being number one, I mean, hasn't really played much recently.
He hasn't.
So I don't know what his, you know, what his form is like. And I got to tell you, the guy that I would pick right now going in is Justin Thomas. Now, you know, that's just
yeah.
that's just who I think, you know, in the best form.
But listen to DJ, going back to him. This is the last five Masters now. He's only lost in the last five Masters to 18 golfers. He's beaten 96% of the field because he's the worst finish was tied for 10th. You know, in that one year he didn't play when he hurt himself, 2017.
Right.
So you can't I'd put DJ right up there in the top five, you know. For sure.
Yeah, I mean, hard to you know. I just again, I'd like to see you know, like to see him play a little bit. But I mean, some people. I mean, obviously, it's been a weird year and a half, so a lot of events were compressed, and he did play a lot of overseas as well. So maybe he just needed that break. And I was reading an interesting article this morning in one of the golf magazines about. You know, right now on the PGA Tour, when they're at their absolute best, who would you take? You know, I mean, and that was it's a good point because you know you think about it, and again, what a lot of guys can maintain. I mean, nobody's coming close to what we saw with Jack and Tiger,
right?
But they can maintain pretty good form for maybe you know a few months or whatnot. But when they're at their absolute best. You know, who is it right now? Would you take a Rory McIlroy who's playing the best he can play versus Dustin Johnson when he's playing the best he can play versus Justin Thomas when he's playing the best he can play? And we kind of went on and on versus Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, yeah, don't exclude him. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And so there were a very interesting article and kind of got you to thinking. And it's really kind of hard to say, you know, because they're, their games, in a couple cases for sure, are definitely different, you know.
Yes.
Their strengths are, you know. Mm-hmm. And I still say that to me, the best golf swing and the best player, if he'd be right mentally week in and week out, is actually Rory. I mean, but I think, it's so hard to play on two tours, to balance that, and he doesn't seem to really be as mentally tough as I thought he would be when he first came out on tour. He seems to his psyche seems to be a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. He's kind of softened up a little bit, but hopefully, you know, if he wins the Masters, that'll give him the Grand Slam. And I read an article today where he changed swing coaches to Peter Cowan, who has a pretty good list of players that's been successful. So I'm kind of pulling for Rory a little bit. You know, I mean, I wouldn't bet against him either.
I love Rory. You know, I mean, I think of all the guys on tour that's really likable. It's hard to root against him. I mean, he just tells you what he feels at the press conferences, and he's not ever disrespectful or whatnot. But he's
right.
Also not going to lie to you. You know, a lot of these guys. I mean, Phil was you know a fan favorite to no end. But Phil was also his nickname on you know tour was Phony Phil. You know, he would just you know. He would tell you what you wanted to hear at the press conference, but Rory, you know, wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he is brutally honest. You know, I think sometimes he beats himself up too much.
He did say recently he kind of got out of the groove because he was chasing Bryson DeChambeau's distance. So to admit that, you know, is remarkable for a guy of that status. You know.
Absolutely, you know, and I think there's a lot of, you know, and I hope that doesn't happen, but I would think a lot of young golfers are very prone to falling into that trap. But, you know, this, I'm talking about like these college golfers that, you know, that are kind of, they're wanting to, you know, make it on tour and thinking, well, to do that, I've got to drive it like Bryson DeChambeau. And that's just not the case. I mean, obviously it helps, you know, and it makes the mockery sometimes of different events, but that's not ultimately, I still think Bryson DeChambeau's career is not going to be as great as people think it's going to be, well, because I think
the whole thing is box score. You know as well as anybody that it's not just how far you hit the ball. Even if you hit it in the fairway, you got to chip and putt. You got to get that ball in the hole. Look at Aaron Wise, you know, four putting, like you said, a golf pro that status, three putting from 3 feet. That's, you know, that's where the difference is.
Absolutely, and again, the human body can only take so much stress, you know.
Right.
And I'll say again, he looked, he put on the muscle, put on the weight, got the distance. He's also 20-something years old. We saw Tiger, I'm not saying he went to the same extremes as Bryson, but he was just that gym rat, you know. He looked like a middle linebacker for quite a few years.
You're right.
And look what happened, you know, when the back goes out, you know, it's just not built for a lot of this stuff that they're doing. And I'm not saying there's not room for that strength and conditioning. Obviously there is, but I think you have to know your limits and kind of know, you know, where to stop. And some of these guys just, you know.
And along those lines, I think Brooks Koepka's problems with his knees and his hip and stuff are related to that, because he looks like a middle linebacker as well, you know. I mean, you know, he's lifting weights and exercising and all that stuff to the extreme.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, again, you know, my I do think the modern athlete, and I heard your point a couple of weeks ago, you know, the 19th hole was named just for that, you know, that after you finished playing golf, number one, you didn't go on the range and beat balls like Vijay Singh used to be. And number two, you sure as hell didn't go to the fitness trailer and work out after your round, you know.
Right.
You went and work out with a few 12-ounce curls or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The bar.
16.
And, 16 or whatever, you know. And then you went to, you know, the hotel room and you beat it up the next day. Now, you know, was that good for your health ultimately? I don't know, man. A lot of these guys are still living, so.
Yeah.
But I think their careers, I mean, I just can't remember very many guys. I mean, you think of Ben Hogan, obviously, with that horrific car wreck and whatnot, but not many of the elite players back then, you would say, man, you know, boy, if he hadn't thrown out his back or hadn't blown out his knee,
exactly,
what might have happened? They didn't get hurt.
No, I mean, none of them. Jack Nicklaus played out there, never ever had an injury. Never, you know. I mean,
that's what I know.
Come on.
Other than, like I said, other than just, you know, freak accidents, you know, I think of poor Tony Jacklin, you know, that propeller thing, and you know, other things like that. But not the physical things that are happening now. I mean, they just, you know, I think it's a fine line between being fit, being, you know, getting the most out of your body and the most out of your but and then overdoing it, you know.
I think they're overdoing it.
Yeah, I think I do too. You know, I think
started with Tiger. You know, he's the one who would go run laps after a round of golf and lift weights and all that stuff. And you know, how many surgeries he's had? 9 or whatever?
It was just to think of what could have been, you know,
exactly, yeah.
You know, but that you can't put that asterisk next to it, because, I mean, you don't, you know, that's a self-inflicted type thing, and sometimes people just need to do their own thing, you know, and you can't necessarily, it's a copycat world we live in. And we think that if everybody's doing this, that's what we need to do. And sometimes you've got to think outside the box maybe a little bit and listen to your body and let it guide you, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fun Masters. I think
it's going to be great.
Wide open. I really do.
The sad thing about it is, though, they're going to have no par 3 tournament, so that jinx is not going to happen. You know how the winner of the par 3 has never won the Masters. They're still going to have the ladies Augusta National golf event, and they're still going to have the drive, chip, and putt contest for the kids. So that's good news there.
Yeah, and I think some of my finest memories just, you know, watching before, obviously with a 4-3 tournament, just watching the kids, you know, with their dads and their granddads and, you know, hit shots and make hole-in-ones. And I mean, just so many, you know, fabulous things. So that is sad to see that not happening. But yeah. Again, we're getting there. And
we're getting
everybody
there, sure.
Kind of follows the protocols and whatnot. I think we'll be back to normal before you know it, and hopefully, you know, we will have a better late 2021, and 2022 might be the magical year that we can all get back to 100% normal. So
we certainly hope so. So
I hope.
Appreciate you calling in once again, and hopefully we'll get to tee it up, me and you, one day soon.
Man, I've been praying for that, Ted. I heard you talking about Beaver Creek earlier, and I want a road trip so bad. I just, you know, I was thinking back to when you, I know we're almost out of time, but when you used to have Sugar Oaks, and you know, the thing you fought back then was droughts. I mean, you would go months, it seemed like, without rain, you know, and without an irrigation system, and having a, remember poor Don when he had it hand watering greens and stuff. Now we get rain, it seems like, every other day, and we just never dry out. And it's just, it's been, to me, cool since September of last year. It's 6 months now. It's time to get hot again, get warm, you know. Let's get some golfing weather.
I'm with you there.
Rain.
All right, well,
yeah,
look,
but
it's time to close up. 6 o'clock.
All right, buddy. Yep.
Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. Bye. All right, stay tuned. We got Louisiana Network News up next.